So let's bring Elliot on. He was certainly not that reporter. Elliot Shore Parks with us right now, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing?
Man, I'm just picturing Hugh bopping around in his Bucky's hat to bye, bye, bye. Just, you know, it's full playoff mode right now. That's how you know it's playoff time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. This is a banger, though.
Hugh's been on some weird time today.
Hello?
Yeah, we was waiting for you. Kyle said I was on some weird time. We was waiting for you to retort.
Oh. I thought I got dropped. My bad. No,
thanks a lot.
Well, you're here. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's reset. All right, Elliot, before we get to the real stuff to talk about here, I need your take on what happened about, 45 minutes ago. So we're airing the Nick Sirianni press conference. We know you were there. And there was another reporter that was there, right? And I'm listening, and Kyle's listening, and I thought I heard something. I was like, yeah, there's no way I heard that. And then Kyle's like, did you hear that? And I said, I guess I did. And then apparently Jack heard it, and Hugh heard it. Did a fellow reporter work blue at a press conference, Elliot?
Yeah, so a reporter did use a word that I guess you guys are very worked up about. But he was quoting Nick Sirianni, who said it earlier in the year about Jalen Hurts. And I think if we can all be honest, it's not really a curse word. That's my opinion. I'm not going to say it on the air.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'm about to, no.
Take a stand, Elliot.
Go ahead and
take
say
a
it,
stand.
Dude.
Honestly, if I didn't think Rod wouldn't get mad at me, I would probably do it. But I think there are other words we're allowed to say on air that I think are worse than that word.
All right, so
like
hold on a second. So, what word is worse than the
one? I don't feel comfortable saying it on air because I view it as a curse word. But I think that the A word that people are allowed to say is worse than that word.
What? Ass?
What? Yeah, I don't feel comfortable saying that. But
why not?
I think it's a top three curse word.
Did you? What school?
You think ass is a curse word? Hold on.
Yeah, I think it's on the Mount Rushmore of curse words.
Didn't Samson whoop some people ass with the jawbone of an ass? Didn't he do that?
Yeah, I mean, well, the other thing that we've talked about a lot recently, Elliot, Hugh was teaching me there's different ways.
Showing your whole ass.
You got to show your whole ass. Like on Sunday, the Eagles defense showed their whole ass. Elliot, I guess you would not agree because you don't want to.
Well, I would agree they played well. I just wouldn't feel comfortable phrasing it that way because there could be children listening, and that's the question.
Wait a minute. So now I'm fascinated by this. So, Elliot. What other words do you deem that are just over the top in cuss words that you
say
don't
them all,
use?
Please.
But just give me an idea.
I know. First of all, I just picture Rod listening to this. Like, what is going on?
No, I'm just fascinated.
Like, I blame the reporter
ass
today.
Ass is
the
not
press
in
conference.
Your repertoire.
He started this.
Ass is not a part of your vocabulary.
I think there's three clear curse words: the F word, the B word, and the A word. And after that, I think like there's a massive gap between any other that and the curse word.
All right, how do you reconcile that a donkey is an ass, Elliot? Like, how do you like that's? It's just
it's not
a bad word
that way. I think those are the three. And after that, like if you want, like I know we're allowed to say it on the radio. I just don't, and the donkey thing doesn't really do it for me. To be honest, like it doesn't impact my opinion on it.
All right, can we quickly, Kyle, do you have the audio of what happened earlier today just so we could
I got it.
Let this reporter off the hook or not? Or let's listen to this. The more I hear it, I guess he was quoting Sirianni, so it's not like he just said it for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, as a fellow Big J to the reporter that asked it, he's just quoting it. And I said it earlier in the year to Nick Sirianni, or I said it to Jalen Hurts, because I think it's important to know the context of how strongly Nick felt about it by using that phrase.
Yeah, that's where he was at with it. Yeah, he just wanted to use it. He was like, I don't know who it was, but it sounded like he was the cat that, hey, this is my only time that I can use this in a sentence. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it here at the press conference. I'm going to be cool.
He had his moment, Hugh.
He had his moment, man. He went viral.
And like a true
football guy,
Nick Sirianni didn't even react to it. Like a true football guy, he didn't even react to it. Because it's not really a curse word.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. I mean, Yeah, here's how I take that. Sirianni's locked in, so I'm happy to hear that he just laser focused, locked in. Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles and where they're at right now. So, Elliot, where are you on the passing game off this past weekend? I know we've had this conversation a lot of different times, a lot of different ways this season, but on Sunday it was probably one of their lower outputs of the season in both yardage and efficiency. I mean, they started off 6-for-6, and then it felt like an hour of real time, maybe more, went by without a pass completed. What did you think of the offense, specifically the pass game Sunday with the Eagles?
Yeah, I think that Jalen Hurts and the passing offense is one of the more kind of complicated topics we've talked about on WIP. Because I do think there is truth on both sides, and I think that some of those truths are definitely contradictory. Like, do they want to only throw for 131 yards in a game? No. I think that they would like to have a passing offense that could be the reason they win. I don't think they want to be a run-first team. But I also think they have arguably the best running attack in the history of the NFL, or at least it's certainly up there among the best ever. So I can't blame them for running it all the time. It's not like Kenny Gainwell or a backup is in there and they're still running it a ton. There's a reason to give Saquon the ball a ton. So I do understand why they do it. And I also think that when you look at the passing offense this year, for the most part, when they've needed to throw the ball, they've been able to. And I think the lack of turnovers is a major positive with this team. If you told me Jalen played that exact game on Sunday, each of the next, it would be three games, and he didn't throw any interceptions, I would bet on them to win the Super Bowl. So I think that it's the way they can win. But yes, of course, when you watch it, it's not the most visually pleasing passing offense you've ever seen.
All right, how about this past Sunday in particular? Because a lot of people watched the film, and I know you rewatched it and gave, you know, kind of updated your grade on Jalen.
Yeah.
Some weeks this year, like the Panthers game, for example, it felt like he just wasn't seeing the field or he wasn't getting rid of the ball. He was missing what should have been there. A lot of people didn't feel that same exact way Sunday, that maybe there wasn't as much there. And, Elliot, that makes me wonder, was this a poor game by Kellen Moore, great coaching by the Packers, and how much the A.J. Brown injury impacted everything? Because my eyes told me A.J. wasn't moving like he normally does, and maybe that just changed everything.
I think we're going to get the answer to all that on Sunday, because if they come out this Sunday, and now I will say it looks like weather could be a factor, so that's something to consider here. But this is a big game for me moving forward, because this is the chance to really see where the passing offense is at. The last time they played the Rams, they ran for a ton of yards for sure, and I think they'll run for a ton of yards again. But A.J. had a big game. They won matchups on the outside. I think he had almost 100 yards against Williams, the Rams' top outside corner. So, like, there's going to be opportunities there. I also think that you can kind of write off last week's performance by the offense a little bit with Russ. Jalen and A.J. hadn't gotten reps in practice together for basically a month. He was dealing with that knee injury. I don't know if it's a knee injury where it's just going to flare up for a few days and then it's good, or, you know, so we'll see this week how he feels. But this Sunday will tell us a lot about where this passing offense is at and, you know, how effective it can be moving forward.
All right, let's talk about the defense. And they played great again Sunday, which they have basically the entire season since the bye. But now they're dealing with a major injury here. N'Kobe Dean out. I feel bad for him. I mean, he had so many injuries in his young career. He finally stayed healthy this year, was about to get a contract, and now he's out, and who knows when he'll be back at full strength again. But for Sunday, it opens up what I think is a question mark at that other linebacker spot. Oren Burks came in this week. Now the coaches, including Sirianni today, talking up Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and I'm positive McVay is going to test whoever is on the field. You know, whoever's out there, they're going to try to attack that player. I thought Josh Jacobs, they threw to him a lot on Sunday as soon as Dean went out. How big of a loss is N'Kobe?
I think he's a really big loss. He's been playing outstanding this year. He's awesome against the run. He's been one of the reasons they've been so good against the run. I also think he is in some ways, honestly, like the emotional leader of that team, or of the defense. You could say maybe Jalen Carter, but I think N'Kobe is a little more vocal. He calls the plays on the field. Like, it's just a big loss. So to your point about who replaces him, so I think it'll be a combination of Oren Burks and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Vic Fangio talked about it yesterday and said that because both are still playing special teams and basically because both haven't played a full game all year, that they might do some rotating there. But another element to this is Oren Burks was with the Niners prior to coming to Philadelphia. So you know McVay is very aware of who Oren Burks is, his strengths, his weaknesses, how to attack him. So I agree. They're going to go after him. And especially when you consider Jeremiah Trotter Jr. being a rookie, hasn't gotten a lot of snaps. You know, I think he definitely has a high football IQ. Growing up in the family, he did, having a full year with the team. But it's a lot different when you're out there and, you know, it's live and it's fast for the first time. So, yeah, I fully expect him to go after that position.
All right, Elliot. Elliot Shore Park's with us here. Let's talk about McVay and the Rams. So we saw the matchup, you know, in late November, and it wasn't close. 37-20, the Eagles win. It was the night Saquon really got on the map as an MVP candidate. But, Elliot, since then, the Rams' defense seems to have changed. Specifically, after they played the Bills in a shootout in December, they haven't allowed even 10 points in a game since, if you exclude Week 18 when they rested everyone. Last four games, 9, 9, 6, 9. They've been really good. How serious of a threat do you think the Rams are as they come in here now?
Now, I do think that stat is a little like they've definitely improved and they're playing better. But if you look at who they've played in there was the Cardinals, there was the Jets was one of them, and there was another one of the offenses I think that weren't that great. So
San Francisco, the Vikings, with all their injuries, it was the Niners.
San Francisco, right. Now, I think Purdy did play in that game. But, yeah, so I think that has to be taken into context. The other thing is they were very good against Minnesota, but we all agree Minnesota were somewhat fraudulent. So I guess where I land on this is the Rams have talent on defense. They have a very good defensive line. They have a good set of edges. They have a really good set of interior rushing defensive tackles. So their line is definitely the strength of that defense. It's what makes everything go. And you saw that on Sunday night when, you know, Sam Darnold was under fire almost the whole time in the pocket and didn't deal well with it. The reason I feel confident there won't be an issue against the Eagles is because of their offensive line, and they've already played them. So I think if you can negate that Rams defensive line, their back seven is intriguing. They have a lot of young players there. They move them all around, but they just don't have any elite talent in the back seven, in my opinion. So the Rams defense has definitely improved, but I think so much of it is because of their line, and I think the Eagles offensive line will be able to handle that.
Elliot, let's end with this. Who has the coach quarterback advantage this Sunday, Rams or Eagles?
I think it's the Eagles. So I do think Stafford is a better quarterback than Jalen right now, but I think Sirianni is a better head coach than Sean McVay. And I think if the duo, I would take Sirianni and Jalen Hurts right now. They've been better this year, I think, combined. Obviously, the record indicates that. And I also think if you just look at this with who they're going up against, there's a way better shot Sirianni and Hurts have success on Sunday than McVay and Stafford. So I think it's close, but I would take Stafford, I would take Hurts and Sirianni.
So last week I would have been with you. I would have taken Hurts and Sirianni over Love and LaFleur. This week, McVay's a good coach, Elliot. He's got eight playoff wins already.
So is Nick. I mean, Nick. So to me, it comes down to more so, I guess, the Jalen and Stafford thing is a really interesting debate because Stafford, I think, has just a better arm than Jalen does. I mean, Stafford, sure, over the past 10 years has had probably a top three arm in the NFL. He can make every throw. And I think he's seen way more than Jalen, right? So I think he's probably better pre-snap than Jalen is. But what Jalen does with his legs and the lack of turnovers is a major deal. So I feel like we always end up back with this with Jalen, with, you know, like, how good is he? And the what he does with his legs and the turnovers are a major, major part of it. So I really do think it's like 51-49 one way or the other. I'd probably take Stafford, but I think it's very close between the two.
Yeah, I think the quarterback thing's closer to me than the coach thing. But obviously they're doing a good job right now the way that Sirianni's running this ship. Elliot, appreciate you hopping on. It's a fun week, and we'll see you on Sunday for the pregame, maybe with some snow falling as we get ready for a divisional round playoff game.
Can't wait. See you guys then.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks, who has very interesting thoughts, Hugh, on curse words and what's acceptable and what isn't. I don't know if I've ever heard that one before.
The not saying ass is crazy to me. I mean, that's a part of my I'd say that at least once or twice a day.
Well, we know you have a very colorful vocabulary.
No, I'm just saying. That's just crazy to me. Why has the sign been on four other freaking football teams? I wonder, does he have a swear jar?
I wanted to, like, when he says,
yeah,
that
him
he has
and his
to
wife,
put in the
yeah,
jar
at his
home.
Wife, yeah, him and his wife have a swear jar.
I wish we established a swear jar when we started our show. I mean, could you imagine how many times that jar
we got
one time for you.
Big screen TVs.
Well, if we include ass, I mean,
that's true.
That day we learned about, you know, showing your whole ass.
And just like out-of-pocket things that Hugh said on the show in the past.
They got thick wood hard. Yeah, that one right there. Yeah, I'm getting killed for that one on the social media platform.
That, I would say that's one of your best ones in a long time.
Yeah,
like that one,
I'm getting killed for that one.
I have a feeling a year from now we're still playing that audio.
Yeah, that's going to be in the next year's year review.
We might need a ranking of all of you's out-of-pocket slip-ups.
That one was terrible.
Well, I mean, don't forget, guys, we are just about 2 months away from Hutology when we have the bracket of Hughes.
Oh, yeah, that's
so,
right.
March
Madness.
I mean, yeah.
Speaking of basketball,
yeah,
has anybody watched any basketball? Has basketball been on your radar?
So, yes and no, in that I will peek in to see how bad the Sixers are, and then I will peek back out. I heard DeCamero this morning was flipping out about how much of a disgrace the Sixers are. Hugh, I turned that on last night because last night they played basically no one, and they were getting blown out by a great team with the Thunder. And I turned it right off. Like, Hugh, I know what's going on. I recognize how bad they are. Joel's barely played this season. George has been a disappointment. But I'm not letting them bother me right now. I'm too into the Eagles. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I turned it on, and I was like, oh, they lost tonight. I'm out.
It's funny, right? Because I guess they were doing the lineup and talking about who was playing, and they said, well, Joel Embiid is not going to play tonight. And I remember thinking, I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know why at this point, why are you even telling me because he has to play? I mean, that's what I remember thinking. Not hating on him. I just was like, well, he ain't played a whole lot this year, so why are you taking the time to tell me that he's not going to play when we kind of knew that he probably wasn't going to play?
I will say they're lucky right now. Kyle, I remember, I think it was the Super Bowl run in 17 into 18. I think that's when, if my memory serves right, that's when Markelle Fultz forgot how to shoot. That might have been the year, or maybe it was the next year and the Eagles were on a run. But the Sixers have a way of doing weird things in the month of January where they could fly under the radar. And, like, they could just lose every game right now and most people aren't going to care. We'll care eventually, but, you know, whatever right now.
Yeah, would you be surprised if, like, Sunday during the Eagles-Rams game we get some Sixers are shutting down Embiid news?
Well, I mean, wait, the story came out that they're staying at the complex, the stadium thing, right before the Eagles game on this past Sunday. So, no, I wouldn't be surprised. They always try to sneak that stuff through. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's talk to Big V in Mount Laurel. Big V, what's up?
Yo, what's going on?
Hello?
Big V, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
I want to congratulate you from hanging around all of these other people that you're working with today who are incredibly plant-based.
Oh, so we're starting with names? We're starting with names? What's the problem?
You've got concerns. You got worries. No, you scared, man. Buy a dog!
I am scared. I mean, what do you want me to say, Big D? I mean, like, this is a real quarterback and a real coach coming in here. And, yeah, if the Eagles' offense plays like it did this past week, this is going to be a close game in the fourth quarter. What do you want me to tell you?
Okay, let's start with the coach, okay?
Okay.
Nick owns him. Nick has defeated him the last three times. Come on, what are you worried about?
Isn't it just
really?
Two? They've played three times?
I think he's talking about two times at least, right?
Two times.
He's,
I mean, that's a small sample, Big V. It's two games.
He's speaking it into existence. He's speaking it up.
Let's get the third this weekend. All right. I mean, but McVay's a better coach. McVay's a better coach. We could agree there.
Yeah, but Nick owns him.
All
he
right.
won't win uh-huh. until Nick says he can win.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, listen, I mean, in terms of the quarterback, Nick has been very good in putting these guys in position to succeed. They've practiced. They've trained. They've studied. They're prepared. They go out there every week and consistently, as Hugh say, show their butt. Our defense has been manhandling people. I mean, gratuitous violence. It's better than seeing the Gladiator Arena watching our defense. What are you worried about?
We don't score points, Big V. I mean, on Sunday, other than the short field, they scored 15 points. Like, that means the game could be close. And then in a close game, they've got a Hall of Fame quarterback and a great coach. And two good receivers. I mean, that's a recipe for, hey, we're not biting our nails at the end of the game. That's all.
Listen, we score enough points to win. That's all you need.
How about a lot of points? How about we blow them out? That's what I want. Can I have that?
You want it? Yeah, we'll blow them out at the Super Bowl, okay? But for right now, let's get to the next step. Here's my prediction. Hugh, you believe in threes, right?
I do.
Three interceptions. And we're talking about Quinyon getting in there. three throwing touchdowns. Three touchdowns by our running back. That's my prediction.
We're getting three picks of Matthew Stafford on Sunday.
We're getting three picks. Oh, and let's throw in three sacks.
Three picks, three sacks. All right. I mean, I hope you're right, Big V. I mean, when was the last time Matthew Stafford threw three picks in a game, especially a playoff game?
You got to check your stat guy, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, he's never thrown three picks in a playoff game. So I mean, that first time for everything. All right.
Those Rams are going to limp out of the link and watch us beat the next group.
All right, Big V, I mean, speaking into existence, I love it. I love Big V just, you know, and Elliot, Kyle, like as if Matthew Stafford's not a great quarterback. Yeah, no big deal. I mean, we got Jalen Hurts.
This is Big V's world, man. We're all just living in it.
I've realized that a long time ago. It's not our world. It's certainly Big V's world, not our world. All right, let's grab Cowboy Jim quickly here. What are you on a playoff week, Cowboy Jim? As your team is conducting maybe the most embarrassing head coach search, Robert Saleh. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Before I get to my Coach Prime or Kellen Moore, do you think when someone calls Elliot a dumbass, what do you think offends him more, the dumb part or the ass part?
Well, I think we found out today.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? And are we really surprised about Eagle fans? Come on, you had an Eagle fan that ate horse poop. You know, so come on. I've been dealing with Eagle fans my whole life. This is nothing
new.
Yeah,
but you've deserved what you've heard back. I mean, that's the difference. Yeah. You've deserved it.
Yeah, and okay, so first of all, I don't want Kellen Moore to go to the Cowboys. You know something, Kellen Moore? Go to some college. Go to a big university, like a Penn State or something like that. Play, you know, coach for like 3-4 years. Go to a bowl game. Go to playoffs. You know, learn how to be a head coach. Then come back and do that. I don't want him there. I want Coach Prime, and you will refer to him as Coach Prime when he comes. I want him to come to Dallas.
I won't do anything of the sort.
Cowboy Jim wishful thinking. You know damn well Jay Jones is not going to hire Deion Sanders to be the coach of the Cowboys. That's not going to happen.
I've eaten a lot of raccoon.
He's not going to do that, man.
Somebody doesn't want any more bourbon anymore, do they?
No, Big Jim, I'm
threats. Cowboy
I'm not
Jim?
Lying to you. I'm being honest with you. He's not going to – there's so many reasons that I can tell you why he's not going to hire Deion Sanders, but the biggest one is his ego. Jerry Jones has been the biggest thing in Dallas since he's bought the team. Am I lying about that?
No.
So now you think that he's going to bring somebody in that's larger than life than him?
No. I want Coach Prime because – players will want to play for him.
They will not want
to come to Dallas to play for
I'm
him.
I'm not disputing that, Cowboy Jim.
I don't give a shit.
Tell me what your heart really tells you about your owner. Tell me what you know. You might have to tell me off air because I have some strong feelings about Jerry that I will not share there. But tell me what you think. Do you really think that Jerry is gonna hire Deion Sanders?
Absolutely.
You think so? Okay.
Yes.
He hired Parcells.
He also hired Jason Garrett.
Who was that? Who was the dude from Oklahoma? Barry Switzer.
Switzer. If you spotted Barry Switzer, the C and the T couldn't spell cat. Cowboy Jim. Jim, we appreciate the phone call. All right, 215-592-9494. I mean, all roads are going to lead to Kellen Moore. That's my prediction on that Cowboys thing. They're going to end up with him as their head coach. All right, your phone calls on the other side. All of this with the Eagles. Do you feel better after Wild Card Weekend about this team's chances to win the whole thing? Plus, we go back and forth on this show, on this station all the time with our takes. But we may have seen the quickest surrender of a take in recent memory. We'll play that for you next. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday show. Maybe that Eagles passing game will change and explode on Sunday. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio with you. This segment, of course, sponsored by Visit Delco. I have tickets to the Birds game this weekend. Make a night of it with the Eagles game day getaway from Visit Delco. Go to visitdelcopa.com. Click the Eagles logo. And I keep looking at this forecast, Hugh. We may be in for some legitimate snow during the game on Sunday. Now, I know this is going to evolve. It's only Wednesday. And you know, a couple weeks ago, we thought there could be snow last Saturday. That didn't happen. So who knows? But Hugh, as I see it right now, the time that that my phone is telling me we're going to see some precipitation on Sunday, you ready for this, is between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. That's the game. Yeah. I mean, we could have a snow playoff game.
Yeah, and I just got some good news. My coat was just delivered today, so I'm good to go.
Oh, so you're ready? You're finally ready?
Yeah, hopefully it's the right size. But yeah, I got it. It just got delivered. No. We're gonna cross our fingers and hope that it's still there when I get home.
So from a humor perspective, what's funnier? If Hugh's in a way oversized coat, Kyle, or if he's in a really small coat on Sunday?
The oversized, I think would be a lot funnier. like way too
That's
big.
That's a hell of an oversized coat, dude.
I was thinking the same thing. It's not easy to get a fully oversized coat. All right, so Hugh's got a coat. That's good vibes for Eagles. Let's get back to the phones here, and then we have to get to maybe the biggest backtrack in the history of predictions that I have ever heard. And I'm known to make a backtrack on a prediction. Let's talk to Calvin in West Philly. What's up, Calvin?
What's going on, you guys?
What up, man?
Calvin, what's up, buddy?
I'm chilling. Listen, you killed me last week. Last week it was, we're not respecting the Packers, and they're a different kind of seven seed, and they won 11 games, and the game was never in doubt.
Well, I said that on Friday. Like I guaranteed a win. I mean, by Friday,
none of us on
this
show really said.
But after you spent the week telling us to respect them, and we should be scared. So it seems like everybody.
I wasn't scared of the Packers. I wasn't scared of the Packers.
You got the wrong show.
Yeah, you talked.
So it was a crap team that the Rams have held to all these low scoring averages. Pretty much has been crap teams. So like I'm not worried about the Rams.
They held the Vikings. Hold on, they held the Vikings to 9 points on Monday. The Vikings.
The Vikings did have like 30 games, but they also had a quarterback that never played in the playoffs.
Okay.
I
get that,
game.
But we can't now take what the Rams just did 3 days ago and say, well, that's not that impressive. They held
I wasn't impressed by it because it was Sam Darnold.
Why weren't you impressed?
Sam Darnold won 14 games this season.
Sam Darnold has been like, since he's been in the league, he's pretty much been a middle of the road quarterback. So when you play,
Calvin, I know you probably read from a piece of paper, but relax. He's a middle of the road quarterback.
Sam Darnold, Matt Stafford.
I thought you know what? My bad. I let you cook. I thought you said Matt Stafford. My bad. You got it.
No, not Stafford. No,
okay, my bad.
Respect for Stafford. If you can sling it, you can sling it. I'm not going to act like, you know, but I don't really fear the Rams. It's like we supposed to respect everybody else, but we got the number one defense. We got the best running back in football. We got the best O-line. Our D-line is monsters. Like, our secondary is good. So when do we come into a game as the respected and the one that should be feared? Like, every week, I don't want to hear it.
We're favored.
The Eagles are 6.5-point favorites.
I agree. So but you're telling me the Rams is red hot. Like, the teams they named, the Cardinals, the Jets, like, beating Sam Darnold, I don't really consider that red hot. Everybody was red hot till they played us.
Are you Baltimore trying to tell us to respect and fear us? I mean, that's not how this works. We can only talk about our opponent.
I know we're good, Calvin.
What are you talking about?
It doesn't sound like it, though.
Calvin came in here hot at everybody.
Calvin, on Friday, I said the Eagles are going to blow the Packers out. I was very confident. This week, I don't feel as confident. I think this is a tough game.
Well, where's the offense going to come from with the Rams? Because their running back is not all world, and we have a pretty good secondary.
Yeah, so Puka, they're going to throw the ball, man.
We sacked them a bunch of times the last game. I don't really think they can block our D-line, even though we're a little decimated with the injury. My biggest concern is the linebacker being out and them kind of finding a way to get Puka Nacua matched up on linebackers that's not really that experienced. That's my biggest fear for this game.
You know what I noticed you haven't mentioned the whole time? You haven't mentioned our quarterback, Calvin. We're just overlooking the fact that
because he threw two touchdowns. He didn't turn the ball over. Like I don't need him to play like Joe Burrow. I don't need him to do that. I need him to do what he needs to do on this team. Trent Dilfer still got a ring. Rob Johnson still got a ring. You don't have
You're thinking you're going to make me feel better by invoking Trent Dilfer's name?
Yeah.
Trent Dilfer was terrible.
Because that's what we want. We want another ring, right? Nick Foles wasn't all world. There was no pedigree, but he won. Like, we just want to win.
Well, hold on. Hold on, Calvin. Nick Foles in the title game in the Super Bowl lit it up. They scored 70 points.
He did what he had to do because that's what the game called for. We was in a shootout, so he shot out. But that's not the identity of this team. Like, that's not the way they play. And then when times when they have had to score more points, other than the Washington game, which Jalen didn't play, they did.
What shootouts
have
we won
more,
this
he's done more.
We want a shootout this year?
What shootouts? This year, what shootout?
I'm saying when he's been called to do more, he's done more. Whatever it's taken. He's 15-3?
He's tired. He's tired of you talking bad about his quarterback, Joe. That's basically
what
Calvin's trying to say.
You want me to grind this man up for winning and for not turning the ball over.
He's just mad because you
that's right. Rip him, Calvin.
It's the same game like Carolina because obviously AJ wasn't really getting open. He seems like he's hurt and he's just trying to play because he doesn't want to sit out. But it wasn't the same AJ on the field on Sunday.
I agree. Like he was. So Calvin, so how are we scoring points on Sunday?
Tell him, Calvin.
How do we score?
Like this
with
Sunday.
Saquon Barkley and all-pro offensive line?
Tell him again. He ain't here.
That's right, Calvin.
He ain't hear you. Say it. Tell him again, Calvin.
Season we were going to run.
Tell him again. Say it again. He ain't hear you. Tell him.
Everybody knew all season we were going to run. That didn't make them able to stop it.
Yeah, but if AJ's banged up, the threat of the pass game is way, way diminished, and it becomes harder.
But if they still put their best corner on AJ, then we got Smitty. Didn't he win the Heisman? Didn't he have 800 yards receiving this year and missed a bunch of games? Like, we still have other – Dallas Goedert's back. We got people that can still make plays.
Tell him
we're
again.
Not just like AJ or nothing.
Tell him that. AJ's not the sum of us. Tell him.
The way you're talking, it sounds like you think this is a blowout on Sunday.
I don't think it's a blowout. I think that that our formula and the way that we win, I don't really see where the worry comes from. Other than
come on, Calvin, I set you up for an alley-oop. You need to slam that down. You're supposed to
say hell yeah, I'm confident. You ain't supposed to.
Listen, I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think it's going to be. It's not going to be a nail biter, and I don't think it's going to be close.
I don't know about that guy. It might be a little.
If we've been wearing things out all season, I think we're going to continue to wear them out.
I hope you're right. And they did do it to them in Los Angeles. Calvin, good phone call. A lot of overconfidence I'm hearing this week.
I look at it like this. This is like the second – what do we call it? The rematch. This is a rematch. So if you got your ass whooped the first time a certain way –
Elliot might be listening. Just take it.
My bad. That's like, you know, I forgot. But, okay, this is the butt whooping for a rematch. Okay. If you whoop somebody's butt the first time, then you have to know – the strategy going into that second game, because you're watching that film, that you can't put yourself in a position to be or get beat up like you did the last time. They're going to do everything in their power to try to stop that. And that means they're going to try to, you know, they're going to try to run the ball. Because like I said, last week against the Minnesota Vikings, they had a hair under 100 yards. They really wanted to throw the ball, but they had like a hair under 100 yards. I think it was like 91 yards or something like that. So in order to keep this defense honest and just not make it a pass game, they're gonna come in and do the same thing. They're gonna try to run the ball, and you have to be able. And their bread and butter is gonna be the pass, but you have to be able to speed their clock up. And what I mean by that is on our possessions. If we go out in this game, and I'm assuming this is what they might try to do, if we win the time of possession, grind ball out like we can with our running game. And Jalen doesn't make any mistakes, that bodes well for us because at the end of the day, the only way that I feel that the Rams could win this football game is if they throw the ball. And if they're coming in here and they're trying to slow the game down or whatever and not really put the ball in harm's way, that bodes well for us, in my opinion, especially if the receivers, if Cooper Kupp is not that healthy and Puka Nacua is not playing well. And who else did you say got hurt? The lead receiver last week was, what, Tyler Higbee against the –
Yeah, yeah.
He had like 55 yards. He distributed the ball well. I will give him that for like over – well, just a hair over 200 yards. But if you could figure out a way to take them out of the passing game and make him make mistakes, you're putting them in a bad spot.
Yeah, by the way, as we mentioned earlier, just we gave a quick mention to where we're at with basketball and the Sixers right now. Joel Embiid officially also out tonight, in case you were getting all revved up for this game, Hugh. Yeah, another missed game. He's been out a week and a half now with a day-to-day foot injury, so just get ready for the Sixers tonight. I know you were
pumped
up for this
one. Only thing I find fascinating is that he got signed with a bad will, and he got $190 million. Played the wrong sport. I think about that every day.
You did? No, I don't know. I mean, what position would you have been in on the basketball court? I mean, you're not exactly the tall.
Nah, he was like a PJ Tucker.
I'd have probably ran the point.
He is a PJ Tucker.
I'd have ran the point.
The point? You got handles?
I got mad handles. I got mad handles, son. Yeah, yeah. You don't see my handles. Man, I can't dribble to save my life.
No, Kyle hit it. PJ Tucker. You would be PJ Tucker.
I definitely would be PJ Tucker. Have the shoe game.
Fan
base would
have loved you. Yeah. I loved PJ Tucker. All right, let's go to Mad Mike. Always has nice things to say about everyone. Mad Mike, what's up?
How we doing today? So it's the caller like the last idiot that called in and just like, oh yeah, it's fine. Jalen Hurts, you can stink all he wants. We have a $250 million quarterback. Who needs him to throw the ball? Like, I want this team to lose just so all these idiots can be smacked down. Oh, our offensive line will score us points. Hey, no, they won't, idiot. You need your quarterback who's paid more than $250 million to be more than a bystander in the game, morons. Like, I'm sorry. Am I the only one watching these games? He basically has been taken out of the offense and can't do anything.
No,
You're not the only one. We're watching it. I don't think he's been taken out, but he certainly is not the driving force.
That calls this radio program, and they're
eater.
Like, "Oh, sorry, Jalen Hurts don't even dress him. Just have a wildcat it with Saquon. We'll win the game." Like, I'm sorry. Like, this town has become a bunch of morons, and I hope that. And you know who doesn't deserve to win a Super Bowl? Our moron head coach. Like, that is the last guy who deserves to win a Super Bowl. Talk about coattail riding his way to a title. Does nothing. And then, ooh, he's a CEO head coach. No, he's a moron that just gets to sit there and watch other people do the work.
So it sounds like you don't think the Eagles have the head coach quarterback advantage on Sunday, Mike?
No, and I think Elliott like Parks is
like
a
how you pulled that out of
can't even say curse words. Like, oh, ass is a bad word. It's a top three. What a moron.
Elliott's insane.
Yeah, that one, and Mike, we appreciate that one. That one got me with Ellie. So, I'm Mad Mike bringing some positivity on Wednesday.
So if we jump off of what Mad Mike said, and the Eagles do win the Super Bowl, I mean, by his logic, that might be the most impressive Super Bowl victory ever with a fraud quarterback and a head coach that's
just along for the ride. The same thing.
I mean,
yeah.
Man,
I wonder what he's going to say if that
talk
happens.
About
in the past, I believe Mike has been anti-Howie as well. And my reaction to this would be someone needs credit for this, right? Like, if the coach and the quarterback both aren't good and they still win the Super Bowl, the rest of the roster must be incredible. I mean, like,
do we hear from Ed Mike if they win the Super Bowl, though?
I would say so. He seems like a stand-up guy. It probably would be negative, but, I mean, I would wonder how he would spin a Super Bowl win to a negative. But I would be
the Mad Mike take?
Yeah.
Yeah. Worst coaching quarterback to ever win the Super Bowl. I mean, we could figure this out. He'd come up with one. All right, speaking of morons and idiots, Micah Parsons, Hugh, we always like to play clips of his podcast because he is – the word I would use for him is goofy and most of the time delusional.
Different.
Great player. I mean,
different.
You guys know I love him as a player,
yeah,
but
he's different.
So we have two cuts here. The first one is this a couple weeks ago, a big, bold prediction from Micah Parsons on where the Cowboys were going in the near future.
Not done yet. We are not done yet, and I hope that y'all don't think we're done yet. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to see next year when we're holding the trophy. Yes, it's big goals, but I'm telling y'all right now, it's holding the trophy. I'm saying my prayers out loud. I'm saying my goals out loud so y'all can hear them. You know, we're going to be holding a trophy up next year. Point blank, period.
Point blank, period. What was that, Kyle, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks
no,
ago?
That was literally less than a week ago.
Less than a week ago, point blank, period, end of story. Can we hear Micah's updated take after his team fired their head coach?
Obviously very sad because the relationships, you know, we had with Coach McCarthy and everything he's done for our program. Three straight 12-5 seasons, playoff appearances, and obviously an unfortunate year due to injuries and things like that, but it is devastating. You know, Coach Mike's a great father, coach, one of the most winningest coaches. And, you know, he's always been good to us as a unit, us to coaches, players. So, you know, losing a great coach like Mike hurts. But it's going to be very interesting offseason. You know, it's going to be very interesting, you know, due to the free agents, the coaching. It's like, you know, it's going to be a complete reset. So it's going to be a very interesting and challenging offseason. But listen, I already know I trust my owner. I trust our GM.
Wow, that was a lot.
You have got to be smoking.
Moment of silence.
I don't know how to take what he said. I mean, that's a lot to change. I mean, and that stuff like that happens. The thing that really jumped out to me was he talking about how he's a great coach and a great father. Number one, I was like, how do you know he's a great father?
I'm glad I wasn't the only one that heard
well,
that.
Well, that jumped out at me, Joe, because, you know, I get caught on the little nuances of the conversation. I'm like, how do you know he's a great dad? And then I got to thinking, when you just talked bad about him a few weeks ago? About him not doing his job or something like that.
Well, he said something to the effect of I can't remember exactly what he said, but it wasn't like the most glowing thing. But he went from we're winning the Super Bowl point blank period to this will be a complete reset.
You know,
and that's
why a lot of times when people say some people just be talking. Just
welcome back, Midday Show. Maybe that Eagles passing game will change and explode on Sunday. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio with you. This segment, of course, sponsored by Visit Delco. I have tickets to the Birds game this weekend. Make a night of it with the Eagles game day getaway from Visit Delco. Go to visitdelcopa.com. Click the Eagles logo. And I keep looking at this forecast, Hugh. We may be in for some legitimate snow during the game on Sunday. Now, I know this is going to evolve. It's only Wednesday. And you know, a couple weeks ago, we thought there could be snow last Saturday. That didn't happen. So who knows? But Hugh, as I see it right now, the time that that my phone is telling me we're going to see some precipitation on Sunday, you ready for this? Is between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. That's the game. Yeah. I mean, we could have a snow playoff game.
Yeah, and I just got some good news. My coat was just delivered today, so I'm good to go.
Oh, so you're ready? You're finally ready?
Yeah, hopefully it's the right size. But yeah, I got it. It just got delivered. No. We're gonna cross our fingers and hope that it's still there when I get home.
So from a humor perspective, what's funnier? If Hugh's in a way oversized coat, Kyle, or if he's in a really small coat on Sunday?
The oversized, I think would be a lot funnier. like way too
That's
big.
That's a hell of an oversized coat, dude.
I was thinking the same thing. It's not easy to get a fully oversized coat. All right, so Hugh's got a coat. That's good vibes for Eagles. Let's get back to the phones here, and then we have to get to maybe the biggest backtrack in the history of predictions that I have ever heard. And I'm known to make a backtrack on a prediction. Let's talk to Calvin in West Philly. What's up, Calvin?
What's going on, you guys?
What up, man?
Calvin, what's up, buddy?
I'm chilling. Listen, you killed me last week. Last week it was, we're not respecting the Packers, and they're a different kind of seventh seed, and they won 11 games, and the game was never in doubt.
Well, I said that on Friday. I guarantee to win. I mean, I was all in. None of us on this show really said.
But after you spent the week telling us to respect them, and we should be scared. So it seems like everybody.
I wasn't scared of the Packers.
You got the wrong show.
Yeah, you talked.
So it was a crap team that the teams that the Rams have held to all these low scoring averages pretty much has been crap teams. So like
They held the Vikings to 9 points on Monday. The Vikings,
the Vikings didn't have like a lot of wins, but they also had a quarterback that never played in the playoffs.
Okay.
I get that.
But we can't now take what the Rams just did 3 days ago and say, well, that's not that impressive. They held
I wasn't impressed by it because it was Sam Darnold.
Why weren't you impressed?
Sam Darnold won 14 games this season.
Sam Darnold has been like, since he's been in the league, he's pretty much been a middle of the road quarterback. So
Calvin, I know you probably read from a piece of paper, but relax. He's a middle of the road quarterback. Sam Darnold's been a star in his league? I thought you know what? My bad. I'll let you cook. I thought you said Matt Stafford. My bad. You got
no, not Stafford. No,
okay,
I
my
got
bad.
Respect for Stafford. If you can sling it, you can sling it. I'm not going to act like, you know, but I don't really fear the Rams. It's like we supposed to respect everybody else, but we got the number one defense. We got the best running back in football. We got the best O-line. Our D-line is monsters. Like, our secondary is good. So when do we come into a game as the respected and the one that should be feared? Like, every week, I don't want to hear it.
We're favored.
The Eagles are 6.5-point favorites.
I agree. So but you're telling me the Rams is red hot. Like, when you – like the teams they named, the Cardinals, the Jets, like, beating Sam Darnold, I don't really consider that red hot. Everybody was red hot till they played us.
Are you trying to tell us to respect and fear us? I mean, that's not how this works. We can only talk about our opponent.
I know we're good, Calvin.
What are you talking about?
It don't sound like it, though.
Calvin came in here
hot at
everybody.
Calvin, on Friday, I said the Eagles are going to blow the Packers out. I was very confident. This week, I don't feel as confident. I think this is a tough game.
Well, where's the offense going to come from with the Rams? Because their running back is not all world, and we have a pretty good secondary.
Yeah, so they're going to throw the ball, man.
We sacked them a bunch of times the last game. I don't really think they can block our D-line, even though we're a little decimated with the injury. My biggest concern is the linebacker being out and them kind of finding a way to get Puka Nacua matched up on linebackers that's not really that experienced. That's my biggest fear for this game.
You know what I noticed you haven't mentioned the whole time? You haven't mentioned our quarterback, Calvin. We're just overlooking the fact that
he threw two touchdowns. He didn't turn the ball over. Like, I don't need him to play like Joe Burrow. I don't need him to do that. I need him to do what he needs to do on this team. Trent Dilfer still got a ring. Rob Johnson still got a ring. You don't have to blow it up.
You're thinking you're going to make me feel better by invoking Trent Dilfer's name?
Yeah.
Trent Dilfer was terrible.
That's what we want. We want another ring, right? Nick Foles wasn't all world. There was no pedigree, but he won. Like, we just want to win.
Well, hold on, Calvin. Nick Foles in the title game in the Super Bowl lit it up. They scored 70 points.
He did what he had to do because that's what the game called for. We was in a shootout, so he shot out. But that's not the identity of this team. Like, that's not the way they play. And then at times when they have had to score more points, other than the Washington game, which Jalen didn't play, they did.
What shootouts
have
we won
this
season?
He's done more.
We won a shootout this year?
What shootouts? This year, what shootout?
I'm saying when he's been called to do more, he's done more. Whatever it's taken. He's, 15-3?
He's tired of you talking bad about his quarterback, Joe.
You want me to grind this man up for winning and for not turning the ball over.
He just mad because you.
That's right. Rip him, Calvin.
It's the same game like Carolina because obviously AJ wasn't really getting open. He seems like he's hurt and he's just trying to play because he doesn't want to sit out. But it wasn't the same AJ on the field on Sunday.
I agree. Like he was. So Calvin, how are we scoring points on Sunday?
Tell him, Calvin.
Do we score?
Like this
with
Sunday.
Saquon Barkley and an all-pro offensive line?
Tell him again. He ain't here.
That's right, Calvin.
He ain't hear you. Say it. Tell him again, Calvin.
We were going to run.
Tell him again. Say it again. He ain't hear you. Tell him.
Everybody knew all season we were going to run. That didn't make them able to stop it.
Yeah, but if AJ's banged up, the threat of the pass game is way, way diminished, and it becomes harder.
But if they still put their best corner on AJ, then we got Smitty. Didn't he win the Heisman? Didn't he have 800 yards receiving this year and missed a bunch of games? Like, we still have other – Dallas Goedert's back. We got people that can still make plays.
We're
not just like AJ or nothing.
Tell him that AJ's not the sum of us. Tell him.
Yeah, the way you're talking, it sounds like you think this is a blowout on Sunday.
I don't think it's a blowout. I think that that our formula and the way that we win, I don't really see where the worry comes from. Other than
come on, Calvin, I set you up for an alley oop. You need to slam that down. You're supposed to
say hell yeah, I'm confident. You ain't supposed to.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think it's going to be. It's not going to be a nail biter, and I don't think it's going to be close.
I don't know about that guy. It might be a little.
If we've been wearing things out all season, I think we're going to continue to wear them out.
I hope you're right. And they did do it to them in Los Angeles. Calvin, good phone call. A lot of overconfidence I'm hearing this week.
I look at it like this. This is like the second – what do we call it? The rematch. This is a rematch. So if you got your ass whooped the first time
Elliot might be listening. Just take it.
Oh, my bad. That's like, you know, I forgot. But, okay, this is the butt whooping for a rematch. Okay. If you whoop somebody's butt the first time, then you have to know – the strategy going into that second game, because you're watching that film, that you can't put yourself in a position to be or get beat up like you did the last time. They're going to do everything in their power to try to stop that. And that means they're going to try to, you know, they're going to try to run the ball. Because like I said, last week against the Minnesota Vikings, they had a hair under 100 yards. They really wanted to throw the ball, but they had like a hair under 100 yards. I think it was like 91 yards or something like that. So in order to keep this defense honest and just not make it a pass game, they're gonna come in and do the same thing. They're going to try to run the ball. And you have to be able – and their bread and butter is going to be the pass. But you have to be able to speed their clock up. And what I mean by that is, on our possessions, if we go out in this game, and I'm assuming this is what they might try to do, if we win the time of possession, grind ball out like we can with our running game, and Jalen doesn't make any mistakes, that bodes well for us. Because at the end of the day, the only way that I feel that the Rams could win this football game is if they throw the ball. And if they're coming in here and they're trying to slow the game down or whatever and not really put the ball in harm's way, that bodes well for us, in my opinion. Especially if the receivers, if Cooper Kupp is not that healthy and Puka Nacua is not playing well. And who else did you say got hurt? The lead receiver last week was, what, Tyler Higbee? Against the he had like 55 yards. He distributed the ball well. I will give him that for like over, well, just a hair over 200 yards. But if you could figure out a way to take them out of the passing game and make him make mistakes, you're putting them in a bad spot.
Yeah, by the way, as we mentioned earlier, just we gave a quick mention to where we're at with basketball and the Sixers right now. Joel Embiid officially also out tonight, in case you were getting all revved up for this game, Hugh. Yeah, another missed game. He's been out a week and a half now with a day-to-day foot injury, so just get ready for the Sixers tonight. I know you were
pumped
up for
this. Only thing I find fascinating is that he got signed with a bad will, and he got $190 million. Played the wrong sport. I think about that every day.
You did? No, I don't know. What position would you have been in on the basketball court? I mean, you're not exactly the tall.
He was like a P.J. Tucker.
I'd have probably ran the point.
He is a P.J. Tucker.
I'd have ran the point.
The point? You got handles?
I got mad handles. I got mad handles, son. Yeah. You don't see my handles. Man, I can't dribble to save my life.
No, Kyle hit it. PJ Tucker. You would be PJ Tucker.
I definitely would be PJ Tucker. Have the shoe game.
Sam
and all
would
that.
Have loved
yeah.
you. Yeah. I loved PJ Tucker. All right, let's go to Mad Mike. Always has nice things to say about everyone. Mad Mike, what's up?
How we doing today? So it's the caller is like the last idiot that called in and just like, oh yeah, it's fine. Jalen Hurts, you can stink all he wants. We have a $250 million quarterback. Who needs him to throw the ball? Like, I want this team to lose just so all these idiots can be smacked down. Oh, our offensive line will score us points. Hey, no, they won't, idiot. You need your quarterback who's paid more than $250 million to be more than a bystander in the game, morons. Like, I'm sorry. Am I the only one watching these games? He basically has been taken out of the offense and can't do anything.
No.
You're not the only one. We're watching it. I don't think he's been taken out, but he certainly is not the driving force.
That calls this radio program, and they're like, oh, it's fine. Jalen Hurts doesn't even dress him. Just have a wildcat it with Saquon. We'll win the game. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this town has become a bunch of morons. And I hope that – and you know who doesn't deserve to win a Super Bowl? Our moron head coach. Like, that is the last guy who deserves to win a Super Bowl. Talk about coattail riding his way to a title. Does nothing. And then, he's a CEO head coach. No, he's a moron that just gets to sit there and watch other people do the work.
So it sounds like you don't think the Eagles have the head coach quarterback advantage on Sunday, Mike?
No, and I think Elliott like Parks is like a how you pulled baby that out of there. Can't even say curse words. Like, ass is a bad word. It's a top three. What a moron.
Elliott's insane.
Yeah, that one, and Mike, we appreciate that one. That one got me with Elliott. So, yeah, Mad Mike bringing some positivity on Wednesday.
So if we jump off of what Mad Mike said, and the Eagles do win the Super Bowl, I mean, by his logic, that might be the most impressive Super Bowl victory ever, with a fraud quarterback and a head coach that's just along for the ride.
No, I was just thinking the same thing.
I mean, man.
I wonder what he's going to say if that happens,
though. Talk about defiance.
In the past, I believe Mike has been anti-Howie as well. And my reaction to this would be someone needs credit for this, right? Like, if the coach and the quarterback both aren't good and they still win the Super Bowl, the rest of the roster must be incredible. I mean, like,
do we hear from Ed Mike if they win the Super Bowl, though?
I would say so. He seems like a stand-up guy. It probably would be negative, but, I mean, I would wonder how he would spin a Super Bowl win to a negative. But I would be
guess the Mad Mike take?
Yeah.
Yeah. Worst coaching quarterback to ever win the Super Bowl. I mean, we could figure this out. He'd come up with one. All right, speaking of morons and idiots, Micah Parsons, Hugh, we always like to play clips of his podcast because he is – the word I would use for him is goofy and most of the time delusional. Great player. I mean, you guys know I love him as a player, yeah, but he's different. So we have two cuts here. The first one is this a couple weeks ago, a big, bold prediction from Micah Parsons on where the Cowboys were going in the near future.
Not done yet. We are not done yet, and I hope that y'all don't think we're done yet. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to see next year when we're holding the trophy. Yes, it's big goals, but I'm telling y'all right now, it's holding the trophy. I'm saying my prayers out loud. I'm saying my goals out loud so y'all can hear them. You know, we're going to be holding a trophy up next year. Point blank, period.
Point blank, period. What was that, Kyle, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks
no,
ago?
No, that was literally less than a week ago.
Less than a week ago, point blank, period, end of story. Can we hear Micah's updated take after his team fired their head coach?
Obviously very sad because the relationships, you know, we had with Coach McCarthy and everything he's done for our program. Three straight 12-5 seasons, playoff appearances, and obviously an unfortunate year due to injuries and things like that. But it is devastating. You know, Coach Mike's a great father, coach, one of the most winningest coaches. And, you know, he's always been good to us as a unit, us to coaches, players. So, you know, losing a great coach like Mike hurts. But it's going to be very interesting offseason. You know, it's going to be very interesting, you know, due to the free agents, the coaching. It's like, you know, it's going to be a complete reset. So it's going to be a very interesting and challenging offseason. But listen, I already know I trust my owner. I trust our GM.
Wow, that was a lot.
You have got to be smoking.
Moment of silence.
I don't even know how to take what he said. I mean, that's a lot that changed. I mean, and that stuff like that happens. The thing that really jumped out to me was he talking about how he's a great coach and a great father. Number one, I was like, how do you know he's a great father?
I'm glad I wasn't the only one that heard that.
Well, that jumped out at me, Joe, because, you know, I get caught on the little nuances of the conversation. I'm like, how do you know he's a great dad? And then I got to thinking, when you just talking bad about him a few weeks ago? About him not doing his job or something like that?
Well, he said something to the effect of, Mike can go, like, and
yeah, he can,
it won't make a – I guess, yes. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it wasn't, like, the most glowing thing, but – he went from, we're winning the Super Bowl point blank period to, this will be a complete reset,
you know,
in a matter of a week.
And that's why a lot of times when people say, some people just be talking just